how does your model work? Can people simply grow and keep all of their own weed, or is there more of a regulation to this plan?
So there's two elements to it. One is that if people want to grow cannabis for their own use, they can do that. In some states, that's already the case. But this would be a national approach that means that people could grow up to six plants for their own personal use, as long as they're not selling it. But the major element is that there will be also a legal and regulated market. So there'll be a national agency established. That agency would license growers, and you'd have to fulfill a whole lot of sort of licensing requirements to become a licensed grower. We'd already do that for medicinal cannabis now. So the framework there for licensing growers exists. We'd want to make a few modifications to that, but ultimately that's a approach that we take so that the growers then produce a product that is available for sale in licensed retail outlets, and the agency would also determine who gets a license to sell it. People who are selling it would need to be trained professionals. They would need to undertake some training, a bit like responsible service of alcohol training, but for cannabis, and the product that's sold would be sold under plain packaging conditions, would have clear labelling, you'd know exactly what you're getting, the, you know, common sort of street name of the strain that's available, but also the more technical information about the quantities and relative ratios of things like THC to CBD and so on. So basically you would end up with people being able to grow their own if they wanted to, but if you wanted to go and purchase it, you would be able to purchase it through a licensed outlet and know exactly what you're getting, known quality, purity, no contamination, all of those things, and be served by somebody who's got some training and experience in that. And obviously for people who get into trouble, the person who would be selling you the product would be able to refer you on to drug treatment, have all those details at their fingertips, and so provide people with a good point of contact to have help if they need it.
Yeah, right. You obviously have a probably a holistic approach to this push for legalisation. I guess talking about the Australian economy, how will the regulation of cannabis, weed, marijuana impact the Australian economy?
Well, it's actually a huge money earner. The Parliamentary Budget Office has costed this proposal, and it brings in nearly $2 billion each year. That's priced on roughly where we're currently priced in the market today. What it does do is, recognise that people will certainly pay what they're paying at the moment from a licensed outlet if they know exactly what they're getting. It's legal. It's under strict quality control conditions. So that's nearly $2 billion a year that would go into make sure that every drug treatment, option is funded properly, that people don't have to wait for months before they get into a drug treatment program. And obviously for people who have got issues with other more harmful drugs, it's so important, you know. At the moment, I've worked as a drug and alcohol doctor, and one of the most frustrating things as part of that was you'd often have somebody come in with a problem, whether it be an opiate like heroin or amphetamines, crystal methamphetamine, and it would take months before you could get somebody into an inpatient treatment program. So with that revenue, we could fully fund drug treatment services. We'd have much more funding for drug education, and we'd have money to invest in hospitals as well. So it certainly would be a significant revenue earner for the government.
Yeah, right. I guess one big argument is that basically my whole life I've been told that drugs and cannabis is bad for me. Does this mean that the legalization of cannabis is a green light for it to be completely safe for recreational use, or is there more behind that?
No, the reality is that it doesn't matter what you or I might say to people about cannabis. People are already making choices about whether they use it or not. So the issue for us is, given that people are already making those choices, given that people are already exposing themselves to, you know, the illicit cannabis market, and of course the people who love their current situation are criminals because they're the ones who benefit from it. But the reality is that, that what we're doing is we're basically accepting the fact that people are currently doing this. And what we're saying is we want to reduce the harms associated with it, which I think is a very common sense approach to say, doesn't matter what legislators might say. This idea about sending the wrong message is just nonsense. That was the same argument that was used when people proposed giving needle and syringe exchange out to try and deal with the spread of bloodborne viruses like HIV and hepatitis C. The anti-drugs lobby would argue that it was sending the wrong message by giving people clean needles to use drugs. Well, we know that it didn't lead to any increased drug use, but it did save a hell of a lot of people's lives by having the option of having a clean needle if people were going to inject. So this nonsense about sending the wrong message is just that. It's just nonsense, because the reality is people are making these choices every day, and we as lawmakers have to make decisions about whether we want to make those choices safer ones, reduce harm, and acknowledge that regardless of what we might say, people are going to continue to do this, and we've got an obligation to make it a safer choice.
Absolutely. Now, I guess talking about the black market, weed has obviously been sold for many, many years illegally in Australia. Will this plan make it easier for illegal drug dealers to get their products, or kind of change the whole face of the black market?
Well, completely change it. I mean, what people aren't going to be buying dope from drug dealers if they can get a product that costs the same as it currently costs from on the black market, but where you know exactly what you're getting, where you know it's been tested under quality control conditions, where you've got clear labelling about the sort of strain that you're getting, so you've got options about which one to consume. And what that means is you're going to see a significant reduction in crime. And where this has been introduced overseas within states of the US and, of course, Uruguay, Spain, Canada are about to legalise, but where it's actually been introduced, we've seen significant reductions in crime. So this will smash the black market. And that's really important, because we would much rather that if people are going to be making choices, you're making informed choices, that they've got a trained professional who can provide them with advice about support if they need it, access to mental health services for people who might need those. The reality is there's no safe drug, legal or illegal, alcohol, tobacco, even paracetamol. I mean, I working in an emergency department, saw people coming in with Panadol overdoses, and people die from that. Cannabis, you can't overdose on it. You can't die from an overdose of cannabis. It's just not the way the drug works. People die from alcohol toxicity all the time. So it is relatively safer, but there is no such thing as a safe drug. And what we're trying to do is ensure that we make the choices that we acknowledge that people are making that choice now, and it's going to be a safer choice under this framework.
Yeah, right. I guess another question is about the drugs that we know are harmful, such as ice. If cannabis is legalized, will there be kind of a knock-on effect to treat ice and the other kind of harmful drugs as similar as cannabis, or will there be a different approach?
Well, not through legalization. I don't think anybody's arguing that you want to legalize a drug like crystal methamphetamine, but right, there's a very strong argument, and I visited Portugal a few years ago, there's a very strong argument to say that we don't want to be imposing criminal penalties on individuals who use illicit substances. All that does is drives it underground. It means they don't come forward for treatment. We spend a whole lot of resources going after drug users rather than the traffickers. So the Greens' view is one where no one should be subject to a criminal penalty just for using a drug. Of course, people, as I said, people who are trafficking and dealing would continue to be subject to criminal sanctions. But so we do need to have that approach. And of course, the good news from the US is where cannabis was legalised, what you actually saw was a decrease in the consumption of drugs like opiates. So fewer people were dying from opiate overdoses. Opiates are drugs like heroin and also prescription drugs like oxycodone. And we saw a substitution across from those more harmful drugs where people were overdosing to the safer use of drugs like cannabis. So we saw a reduction in opiate overdoses. There's been some evidence that there's a reduction in alcohol consumption and alcohol-related violence, alcohol-related motor vehicle incidents. So there are benefits that flow over into other areas as well.
I guess finally, what sort of impact could legalization of weed have on the legal drug industry, such as pharmaceuticals and other, I guess, herbal remedies? What kind of impact would cannabis's introduction have on those?
Yeah, well, as I've just said, I think what you've seen is, particularly for people with chronic pain who have been using opiates, there's people shift across from the use of those opiates, which can, if they're used in large quantities, they certainly people become very physically dependent on them, but they can lead to overdose if a big enough quantity is consumed. And if people are injecting those opiates, then they can lead to all sorts of problems associated with bloodborne viruses and so on. So where cannabis has been introduced, you've seen a shift across to cannabis and away from those drugs. So that's a positive. There's a positive in terms of alcohol. And there are questions about whether drugs that are used for other chronic pain conditions, pharmaceutical drugs, you'd see a shift across to cannabis as well. So overall, the picture looks like it's one where you'll see benefits right across the board. The major harm associated with cannabis is probably the smoking, and if it's smoked regularly and often, then it does have an impact on the lungs. But, of course, there are alternatives to that now, and there are alternatives like vaping and edibles, which are safer than smoking.